The following recording was produced by Christ Redeemer Church of Hanover, New Hampshire. The speaker is Pastor Don Williman. You may find more information on the church and its various resources on the web at www.christredeemerchurch.org.
Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Then Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. And for this is what the prophet has said. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, you are by no means the least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." He did not want to worship him. He wanted to kill him, as the story will go on. But let me continue reading. After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. May God bless the reading of his word. Now, you can see this scene is usually depicted as part of the nativity scene. In other words, the wise men, or the magi, they be called either way, are there with the shepherds and Mary and Joseph, all standing around the manger in which the little Lord Jesus is laid. As a matter of fact, that's exactly the scene that we have down here. Now, I say this because I don't want to destroy everything you thought you knew about Christmas. I don't want to be the Grinch. However, this depiction of the birth of Jesus is not accurate. It's actually a conflation of different accounts of Jesus. The Magi, as we can see here from this passage, were not there at the birth of Jesus. The scene tells us that the Magi arrived sometime after his birth, perhaps weeks, perhaps months. And the Holy Family is no longer in a barn or a cave or whatever it was that Jesus was born in. It was probably one of those two things. But rather, they're in a house. It says that they came into the house, and presumably this house is in Bethlehem. So the Holy Family is no longer there. And here's what I want to do tonight in the short time that we have. I want to zero in on these Magi, these wise men, and their gifts, and their joy, because I think in understanding who they are and what they were about, we'll understand better who Jesus is, why he came, and what it is that we can get out of this for us. And so here's what I want to do. I want to first look at who the Magi were. Secondly, I want to look at why did they come. Thirdly, what did they know? And then finally, how did they respond? So who, where, what, and how? So really quickly, who were the Magi? Well, first of all, it's really important to point out the number of the Magi. We don't actually know the number of them. All depictions of them assume that there were three. And the reason for this is because there were three gifts. And so that's the reason why people that think there or the depictions show three. But actually, the best that we could tell from history in general, there was probably a delegation of these Magi or these wise men. And well, who exactly were they? Well, they were a special class of, we might say, astrologer, scientist, literary scholars from ancient Babylon and Persia, modern-day Iraq and Iran. So they'd come a pretty good distance. As a matter of fact, the word magi, as it's translated here, is the English word from which we, from the ancient word from which we get our English word magic. You can kind of see it. It's right there. It's, in what we know about them, that they were of the highest educated class and possessed great scientific and scholarly or literary knowledge. And so that's who they were. Why did they come? Well, it's kind of interesting. Hundreds of years earlier, in the story of the people of Israel, the Jewish people, the Jewish people were carried off into captivity, into Babylon. And some of the Jews in that context rose in prominence during that Babylonian captivity. So, for example, we have the story of Daniel in the Old Testament. The Old Testament prophet Daniel, the book of Daniel. And Daniel was put in charge back then of whom? The Magi, the wise men. So Daniel was put in charge of these. And since the Magi were literary scholars, we can safely assume that the Hebrew Scriptures, that is what we would call today the Old Testament, would have been enfolded into their literary records. And this would have included, that means that they would have studied the Torah, the Old Testament law, Genesis, Exodus, and so forth. But they would have had some of the prophets. They would have even had the writings of Daniel himself, we can assume, all of which predicted the coming of the Jewish Messiah. And so when the star appeared, we can assume that these ancient magi, these ancient wise men, put two and two together and followed the star westward to the Jewish capital, the great city of Jerusalem. And so we looked at who the Magi were and why they came. Now, this is perhaps the most interesting thing. What did they know? What did they know about this baby Jesus who was born? Well, we know that they knew the prophecies of the Old Testament, but exactly what did they know from these writings? And we can deduce something from that, from the gifts that they brought. In other words, they chose these gifts in light of what they knew from the Old Testament prophecies. Let's go through these gifts one by one. First, they brought gold. And gold is a gift for a king. They knew that this Messiah was to be king of Israel. The name Messiah literally means anointed king. They explicitly come asking what? Where is the one who is born king of the Jews? And this is because the Old Testament spoke of this anointed king who is coming. But secondly, they brought frankincense. Frankincense. I always thought that was a funny word when I was a kid. I still think it's a funny word. Frankincense. What in the world is frankincense? Well, frankincense is an aromatic resin made from an African tree. It was very precious, very, very expensive, and it was burned as incense. As a matter of fact, it is the specific incense that was required by the Old Testament law to be burned in the worshiping, the incense to be burned in the worship of Almighty God, the Creator God of the Jews. So frankincense. So this is interesting. I mean, did these ancient pagan astrologer scholars get it that this little baby that was born was Almighty God in human flesh? I mean, that's what the Bible will tell us. That's what the New Testament will tell us. I mean, this would make sense. It wouldn't be all that surprising, even if they didn't understand perhaps the fullness of it. I mean, who does? Do we understand it? Maybe they didn't even understand the uniqueness of it, but they would have studied, we can assume, the book of Isaiah that tells us the prophecy of the Messiah. We just read it a little bit ago that says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And when who is this son? He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." So we've looked at, as you can see, the gold. We've looked at the frankincense. But there's also this third thing that the Magi brought, and that's myrrh. This is perhaps the strangest of all the gifts. Gold for a king, incense for a god, but myrrh? Myrrh was a perfume, but it was generally used as a burial spice. Arguably, it would be the modern equivalent of embalming fluid. Dead people stink. They smell. And so this would be the modern equivalent to embalming fluid. Now, you can imagine you invite me over for a little holiday cheer, a little dinner party at your house, and I want to bring some housewarming gifts, and I show up and I pull out some flowers, and then I pull out a nice bottle of wine for you and your family. And then I say, oh, yes, and I have one other gift here. Here's a bottle of embalming fluid. Now, you probably wouldn't turn your back on me the rest of the dinner party. You wouldn't let me touch any knives. You know, what is wrong with this guy? Look, why did the Magi bring this? Well, they knew that the Messiah came to earth on a special mission. He came to die for his people. As a matter of fact, the prophet Daniel, when he spoke of the Messiah, he said that the Messiah would be cut off. This is a euphemism for death. He would be cut off from the land of the living. As a matter of fact, the prophet Isaiah, the great prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 53, says this. He speaks of the Messiah as one like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and that he would be cut off from the land of the living for the transgression of my people to whom the stroke was due. That he would be rendered a guilt offering for his people. Myrrh. So you can see gold for a king, frankincense for a god, myrrh for his death. Now, what does this mean for us tonight? Well, how did the Magi respond when they came to the presence of the Lord Jesus? How did they respond? Well, the text tells us that they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Let me say that again. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. You couldn't say it stronger than that. When they walked into the house and they saw the baby Jesus, they fell to the ground and worshiped him. Great joy, exceeding great joy. What's going on here? Why such extraordinary joy? Why such an extraordinary response? Well, look, your joy response to any gift that you receive is relative. It's all relative. Your joy response is all relative to the greatness of the gift slash giver and the greatness of your need for that gift. The greater the gift, the greater the giver, and the more you need that gift, the greater the joy you experience in receiving that gift. The Magi knew that this little baby was the God King who had come not to offer up incense, but to rather offer up his very own life, not only for the Jewish people, Jesus's people, but also for the sake of all people. I mean, you see, the real story here is not the gifts of the Magi, though indeed they were gifts fit for a king. The real story here is the gift of God. The gift that God had given for the Magi, for all peoples, for us all. Because it addresses our greatest problem, which is sin. And it addresses our greatest enemy, which is death. Is it any wonder that they rejoice greatly with exceedingly great joy? And what's our lesson here? Here's the question. Have you ever received a gift so great, so unexpected, so desperately needed, that you burst out into uncontrollable joy at the reception of this gift, at getting this gift? If you have received the gift of Jesus, then that's exactly what you've had. That's exactly what you've been given. The greatest gift from the greatest giver to your greatest need. In Jesus Christ, God Himself has given to us Himself. And he has not just given to us to him, not just given us himself in some petty sort of way, but to the point of death, even death on a cross. He spared no expense. He went to the utmost extreme in order to deal with your greatest problem and address your greatest need. Christmas is not just the story of a baby born in Bethlehem, but rather of a God King come to earth to be crucified for us and for our sins. The Bible tells us that we all have sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glorious ideal for us. To say anything other than that would be a sin in and of itself. It'd be the sin of pride. That we've all sinned, we've all fallen short. And that the wages, the penalty of that sin is death. Eternal death, hell. But in Christ Jesus, God has come to us to be identified with us in the fullness of that very predicament. We didn't deserve it. But he did so gladly because he loved us so. He shared fully in our birth, fully in our life, so that he might share fully in our death. Have you received the gift of the great King? Do you know that joy? Do you realize the seriousness, the greatness of the need? Do you see the greatness of the gift? You know, nothing, absolutely nothing, prevents you from receiving that gift, even right now. Nothing. And my friend, if you have received that gift, there is nothing that prevents you from living in the joy that is that as you ponder the greatness of his gift and you consider the greatness of your need. The only gift fit for the God King crucified is what? Our whole life given. The fall at his feet in worship with exceedingly great joy for all that he has done. This is the gift of Christmas. This is what is ours. A gift free just to receive for us at Christmas. Father, we pray that tonight, as we ponder these things, that you would be gracious to us and that we would see and know that gift anew. Maybe for some of us, we've never received that gift. We've never cried out to you and said, thank you, Heavenly Father, for such a great gift. We've never fallen on our face before the Lord Jesus Christ and received the fullness of the forgiveness that is ours. But Father, I pray that you would work that in us even tonight and that you would cause us to know your joy that is ours in Jesus Christ, and it is to anyone who believes, to anyone who falls on their face before you in the great gift that you've given us. We lift this to you with thanksgiving and with great joy, Christmas joy. In Jesus' name, amen.